Does the Bible teach that giants existed? Because, you know, people will actually look at the story of David and Goliath and say that it's mythology, or that it's not real, or that the Word of God is filled with a bunch of stories that they're nonsense, because nobody ever lived that was over 9.5 feet tall. Does the Bible teach that giants existed on the earth? Have giants existed throughout history? Giants are mentioned throughout the Bible. Giants are mentioned throughout the entire Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 2, the Bible says this: the Edoms dwelt therein in times past. Notice what it says: a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, which also were accounted giants. You see the word giants there? The Bible tells us that there was a people that was great, they were many, they were tall, and they were accounted giants. And here's what you need to understand. Our word giant comes from the word gigantic. They're talking about people that when they saw these people, they said they were gigantic. They were giants. They were very tall. They were very great as the Anakims, but the Moabites call them Emim. So I want you to notice that they went by different names there as far as the giants are concerned. Look at verse 20. That also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in old time, and the Ammonites called them the Zamzumim. So I want you to notice they had different names, again, what the people of the land called them. But here we're told that there was a land of giants, and giants dwelt therein old time. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 3, look at verse number 11. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Notice that at this point, by the time that Moses and the children of Israel are entering into the promised land, there's less and less giants. They're becoming extinct, you know, if you will. And here we're told that only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Reba of the children of Ammon? Notice what it says. 9 cubits was the length thereof. We're talking about the bed of this giant, okay? It says that 9 cubits was the length thereof. So his bed was 9 cubits long. Now again, a cubit is approximately about 18 inches. So when we're talking about 9 cubits, we're talking about 13.5 feet. That's how long this guy's bed was. It was 13.5 feet. And notice, 4 cubits, the breadth of it. The breadth is how wide. 4 cubits would be about 6 feet. So we're talking about this guy has a bed that is 13.5 feet long, 6 feet wide. That's a big guy, all right? Now, it's not necessarily saying that this giant was 13.5 feet tall. It's saying that his bed was 13.5 feet long and 6 feet wide. So obviously his bed was probably a little bigger than he is, you know, so that he could lay in it. But still, if you need a bed that big, you're probably a pretty big boy. You're a big guy. So look at verse 13. And the rest of Gilead and all Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half tribe of Manasseh all the region of Argob with all Bashan, which was called, notice what it says, the land of giants. I want you to just notice, and again, we can look at a lot of different references, but I want you to notice that throughout the Bible, we see this idea that there was a land of giants. There was a valley of giants. There's a place where giants lived, where people were accounted as giants. Numbers 13:32 says this, and they brought up an evil report. This is when the children of Israel were supposed to go into the promised land, and they sent in the spies to spy out the land, and they came back with an evil report. Remember, 12 men went to spy in Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. You know, the 10 came back with an evil report. In chapter 13 and verse 32, it says this, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. They say, we saw people there that are very tall. They're men of great stature. Verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. And of course, they're saying, you know, we felt, they're saying, when we looked up at these gigantic men, we felt like grasshoppers in their sight. We felt like very small individuals in the sight of these people. So here's what I want you to understand. the Bible, and this is just a small sampling, we could look at other passages, but the Bible most definitely teaches that there were giants who walked on this earth, that there were men of great stature that you and I would look at and say that they're gigantic who walked on this earth. But here's what's interesting, because people will mock at the Word of God and say, oh, there's no such thing as giants. But in recent history, because remember, Goliath was just over 9 feet tall. He was 9 feet and a span, you know, is what we're told. He's over 9 feet tall. In modern history, we have had people that are close to being 9 feet tall that have lived in modern recorded history. Let me give you several examples. A guy by the name of Robert Wadlow lived to be 8 feet 11 inches tall. I found an article about him. Here's what it said. It said, Robert Wadlow, the giant of Illinois, reached the height of 8 foot 11 inches. Wadlow is the tallest confirmed person to have ever lived in modern history. There's also another man by the name of John F. Carroll, who was 8 foot 7 and a half inches tall. And he was born in 1932 in Buffalo, New York. And he was referred to as the Buffalo Giant in medical journals. And he had acromegalic giganticism, which is a disease that made him that tall. There's a guy by the name of John Rogan. He lived to be 8 foot 9 inches tall. And he was the second tallest human being in recorded history and the tallest of African descent. And he was not measured officially until his death. The point that I'm trying to make is this, that even in our recorded history, and we've got modern pictures that have not been doctored, these are legit people that actually lived. Even in our modern history, we've had people that have lived to be 8 feet and 11 inches tall. I mean, when you're looking at a man that's 8 feet and 11 inches tall, you're basically looking at Goliath. You know, Goliath was 9 feet, was, you know, over 9 feet tall. But what I'm saying is, it's not just absurd that people would grow this tall, would live this long. Again, we're not talking about people that are 50 feet tall. We're talking about 9 feet tall, 10 feet tall. They've also, all over the world, they've uncovered villages and grave sites where they have found skeletons of people that are 9 feet tall, 10 feet tall, 11 feet tall, 12 feet tall, 13 feet tall. It's very well documented. It's been found all over the world. And look, you say, well, why would we be surprised when the Bible tells us that there was people that walked this earth that were gigantic, you know, that had beds that were 13 and a half feet long and 6 feet wide, you know. Now, here's what's interesting. You might be asking yourself, why is it that we don't hear about this? Because it's very well documented, and it's documented by, you know, reliable sources. Why do we not hear about all these giant graveyards that are found all over the world? And you can learn about it if you do research. But I'll tell you, here's the main reason that science has chosen to ignore, you know, the truth of giants living on this earth. It's because science is not really science. It's science falsely so-called in our country today. And they have an agenda they're trying to push, and it's called evolution. And here's the problem with giants existing thousands of years ago, is that it throws a wrench into their fairy tale of evolution. You say, why? Here's why. Because evolution teaches that we started off as small, you know, creatures, and we're getting bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger, and one day we're going to be like the X-Men and flying around, you know, and doing all sorts of, you know, we're going to become gods, you know, and we're going to become this and that. That's what evolution teaches. In fact, if you do research, you know, they'll tell us that human beings, and this is of course a lie, this is not science, but they'll tell us that human beings came from, you know, an ape relative that averaged a height of 3.5 feet. So there was this ape that's like 3.5 feet, and this ape learned to walk, and because it could walk, it, you know, now it could use its hands to build tools, and because it could build tools, now it learned to cook food, and because it cooked food, it got more nutrition, and its brain got bigger, and it got bigger and bigger and stronger, and here we are. But here's the problem with that. When you find, you know, hundreds of people that were 13 feet tall that roamed this earth, it kind of messes that whole thing up. And here's why. The Word of God will always, look, you will never uncover anything in this earth that will contradict the Word of God, but you'll uncover all sorts of things that will contradict the world's philosophy, the world's false signs, the world's teaching. So it's interesting that the Bible tells us giants roam the earth. They found skeletons of giants all over the world. Today, there are men alive today that are over 8 feet tall. And we've had people in modern history that are 9 feet tall, just like Goliath. Less than 9 feet tall. Goliath was a little bit over 9 feet tall. The point is this: the Bible is true. You can trust the Word of God. The Word of God is true. But there is one thing. If you just bear with me for 1 minute, we're going to get right back into our story of David and Goliath. But there's one thing that I do want to speak about in regards to giants. Because we have dispensational friends today that teach that giants were the result of fallen angels mating with human women. Okay, now that is a false doctrine, that is a false teaching. We reject dispensationalism at Verity Baptist Church. It's just a bunch of lies. But they get it from Genesis chapter 6. And I don't have time to develop the whole thing. One of these days I'll preach an entire sermon on it. But I just want to show you this from the Word of God, just to kind of show you up on it. Because I do want you to believe in giants, but I don't want you to believe in this fairy tale of dispensationalism. So dispensationalism teaches that the fallen angels that came down with Satan basically married women on earth, and their offspring are what became known as giants. And they get this from Genesis chapter 6. Let's look at what it says. Verse 1. And it came to pass that man began to multiply on the face of the earth. This is early into the history of mankind and the world's being populated. And daughters were born unto them. This is all talking about human beings. Verse 2. That, notice what it says. The sons of God saw the daughters of men. Now, here's where we have our first problem with our dispensational friends. Because dispensationalists will look at this term, sons of God, and they'll say, these are angels. And they're not just angels, they're fallen angels. All right? Now, here's what's interesting about that. In the New Testament, we learn all sorts of things about the fallen angels, you know, that followed Satan. Jesus is constantly casting them out. Jesus is constantly, you know, having conversations with them. Here's what's funny. You know what they're called in the New Testament? They're called devils. They're called demons. So our dispensational friends want us to think that what Jesus referred to as devils in the Old Testament, they're the sons of God. I mean, does that make any sense? The sons of God, they'll say those are the angels, the fallen angels, the devils. Saw the daughters of men. Those are human women, according to them. That they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, here's another problem. Jesus specifically told us that angels are not given in marriage. That angels do not get married. That angels, you know, they are spirits. They do not have fleshly bodies to be able to have these type of relationships anyway. But according to them, they took them wives of all which they chose. Verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God, again, these are supposedly the angels of the devils, came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. So here's what they'll say, because in verse 4 it says, there were giants in the earth in those days. They'll say, see, it's talking about giants. And you'll say, well, where do the giants came from? They'll say, well, the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men. And they'll say, those mighty men, those were the giants, which were of old, men of renown. Now, there's a couple problems with that. Throughout the Bible, the term mighty men is used. And you know what it means in the Bible? Here's what mighty men means. It just means a warrior or a soldier. Someone who fights for a living. Someone who their career is to fight battles. That's what it is everywhere else in Scripture. But here we're told, no, it's the giants. Now, let me just give you a couple things to consider, okay? Because they want us to believe that the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6 were devils, were demons, were fallen angels. And they came in unto the daughters of men, and they produced these mighty men. Did you keep your finger right there in Genesis chapter 6. We're going to come right back to it. Go to Hebrews chapter number 1 and look at verse 4. I hope you think this is interesting. I think it's interesting. You know, I think anytime you study the Word of God, it's interesting. But Hebrews chapter 1 and look at verse number 4. Notice what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4. You say, are the sons of God fallen angels according to the Bible. Can the sons of God be fallen? Because here's the thing. We don't go to a theological book. We don't go to a commentary. We allow the Bible to define itself. We allow the Word of God. We compare spiritual things with spiritual. We allow the Bible to tell us, can the sons of God be angels? And even more than that, fallen angels. You know, what we would refer to as demons or devils. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Notice what the Bible says. Being made so much better than the angels. Now, I want you to understand, the context is Jesus. And you can read verses 1 through 3 to get that context. We're not going to read it for sake of time. But we're speaking about Jesus here. And here's what the Bible is saying, that God the Father made Jesus so much better than the angels. Talking about, you know, that Jesus is a higher authority than the angels. And he, talking about Jesus, hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. A more excellent name than who? Than the angels. That's the context. That Jesus is better than the angels, and he has a more excellent name than the angels. Verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he? Now the he there is referring to God the Father, because God the Father is the one who made Jesus better than the angels, who gave him a more excellent name than the angels. In verse 5 he says, for unto which of, he's trying to explain to us how he made Jesus better than the angels, how he made Jesus more excellent, he gave him a more excellent name than the angels. He says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Did you catch that? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, I never looked at an angel and said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, and what he's saying is, you know, he's restating. He's saying, okay, how about this? To which of the angels said he, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And the context, if you study it, is that he's saying, I never told an angel that he's my son. I never told an angel that I'm his father and that he will be my son. But I did tell Jesus that he is my son, and that's why he has a more excellent name, and that's why he is better than the angels. So look, Hebrews chapter 1 is telling us that God never looked at any angel, much less a fallen angel, and called him his son. But yet dispensationalists want us to believe that in Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God were fallen angels, demons? And look, when you study the Word of God, it can't be. Look, it makes good sci-fi movies, but it's not true. It's not the Word of God. You say, okay, well then, who are the sons of God? Well, go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. You say, who are the sons of God? Here's what you need to understand. At Verity Baptist Church, we allow the Word of God to tell us what terms mean, what they are. And so here's the thing. When you study that term, sons of God, throughout the Bible, there's just one consistent theme, all right? We're either talking about the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, but there are other sons of God in the Bible. Who are they? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we, this is John speaking, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You know who the Bible calls the sons of God all throughout Scripture? It's Christians. It's believers. It's people who have believed on Christ. John 1:12, you don't have to turn there. You go back to Genesis chapter number 6. But John 1:12 says this, but as many as received him, talking about Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. So who are the sons of God throughout the entire Bible? It's one group of people. It's those who believe on Jesus Christ, those who believe on the Lord, those who call upon him for salvation. So you say, well, who are the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6? I think it's just believers. And you say, but what's the big deal then? I think the problem is that these believers were being unequally yoked with unbelievers. And they ended up producing these mighty men, men of renown, these great men, just normal men that went out, conquered the land, but they became very violent people. Because look, whenever you connect yourself to worldly people, they don't make you better, they make you worse. And the world ended up becoming so violent, that's what the Bible says, that God ended up flooding the earth and started over. But I want to just show you one more thing, and we're going to get back to David and Goliath. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. Because in verse 4 it says there were giants in the earth in those days. So it's got to be talking about giants. But look, even if you don't connect Hebrews 1, 1 John 3, you know, John chapter 1, even if you don't connect when Jesus said that angels are not given to marriage, you know, that in the resurrection, we will be like the angels in the sense that we're not given to marriage. Even if you forget all that, just a reading of the text will tell you that what they're teaching is not true. Because look at verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also, notice these two words. After that. After that. After what? After the fact that there were giants in the earth in those days, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, because they tell us the sons of God coming into daughters of men is the fallen angels going into women, and they bear children, then the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. They'll say those are the giants. Here's the problem with that. The Bible tells us that there was giants in the earth in those days, and the sons of God going into the daughters of men didn't happen till after that. So how in the world did these sons of God, who are actually devils, you know, produce giants, when the Bible tells us that there were giants in the earth in those days already? They were already there. So just even just a simple reading of the text, even just looking at when he says, and also after that, he tells us this thing happened between the sons of God and the daughters of men. And you might ask the question, well, why does he even mention giants? Why does he even mention that? And here's my opinion on that. My opinion on that is that God is telling us that before the flood, giants were way more, you know, in number than after the flood. After the flood, you have Moses going into the Canaan land, and they talk about there's a land of the giants. There's a valley of the giants. There's a kingdom of the giants. And by the time you get to David and Goliath, there, you know, there's like five giants left that they have identified. I think the Bible's telling us that before the flood, giants were more just innumerable. There was many more giants in the earth in that day. After the flood, a bunch of them did die, but they weren't there as a result of the sons of God coming into the daughters of man, because it says that the giants were there, and the whole thing between the sons of God, whatever you think that is, happened after that. Okay? It says it happened after that. So you can't tell me that the giants were the result of that if that happened after the fact. Anyway, I just, you know, you said, why would you look into that? Here's why I would look into that. Because we need to allow the Bible to be our final authority. And this is why you need to be careful with listening to preachers, you know, that are just following commentaries. And it's interesting. It makes good writing. I get that. But it's just not real. It's not the Word of God. It's not true.